I think there's, quite honestly, some tasks that have to feel insulting to give to another grown-up to do. I'm not saying it should insult their dignity, but at some point, I've told you this before, there are certain things I have never delegated because I just feel like it feels insulting to ask a grown person to do
that for you.
To do this, for example. But right now, the robots don't have feelings. And so yeah. I'm fine with ChatGPT or Claude or any of these other tools to do it for me.
Welcome to One Next Step, the most practical business podcast in the world. You're now one simple tip, practical tool, and small step away from growing your business. One Next Step is brought to you by Belay, the incredible 100% remote organization revolutionizing productivity with virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media managers. Accomplish more, juggle less. Modern staffing from Belay.
Welcome. I am so excited that you have chosen to join us today. It's going to be a great conversation. All of us have experienced AI and how it's blowing up and everybody's talking about it. And so today our topic is collaborative intelligence, how virtual assistants, clients, and AI can maximize productivity. My name is Ryan. I'm on staff at Belay. I'm your host for today's conversation. And I just cannot wait for you to hear from our guests today. Our guests are Wes Gay and his talented virtual assistant, Jody. Wes is a StoryBrand certified guide, agency owner, and private workshop facilitator. And since 2016, he's helped hundreds of organizations find clarity with StoryBrand. Whether it's a rebrand, training a team, or building a marketing strategy, Wes knows how to find the words you need to sell more, all without the usual hassles and headaches of marketing. And Jody, his executive assistant, brings a wealth of experience from the marketing, advertising, and photography industries as she supports Wes. With her exceptional organizational skills and attention to detail, she seamlessly manages his complex schedule and coordinates various tasks to optimize productivity and efficiency. Together, they'll share their experiences, strategies, and success stories in utilizing AI to collaborate more efficiently and achieve remarkable outcomes. So why don't you join me in welcoming Wes and Jody as we jump into our conversation. Wes, Jody, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about AI and how it intersects with your business.
Absolutely.
Happy to be here.
Right off the top, as we get started, as a business owner and then a virtual assistant, can you provide an overview of your experience working with AI and how you think it can enhance your productivity?
Yeah, I'll start. So before I approach anything, honestly, whether it's this conversation or with a client, I always try to look at a little bit of a high level first and think about context and kind of where are we looking, what are we doing? Because I've found over and over again that if we can give ourselves a little context, create a few guardrails and boundaries, it's going to help us be a lot more effective and get a lot better results a lot faster. So when it comes to AI, you know, I've been seeing this for several years. I remember 2018-ish, I remember reading an article that I think Chase Bank had just signed a big agreement to with some AI copy tool that was going to be used for automatically working on their ads. And I thought, well, that's going to be the future, right? That's probably the next big thing to get commoditized. And now I wish I had jumped on that bandwagon as a developer because I would be doing this webinar from an island I had bought. I think at this point, it's been a gold rush in the AI space. But anyways, I saw it. And obviously, I've seen kind of all the things that have happened in the last several months from into 2022 and to where we are now. The challenge has become figuring out what is actually useful versus what is a shiny object. I think a lot of business owners who maybe often find themselves at the cutting edge of technology or where things are headed or that kind of stuff. They're looking at this with a little bit of trepidation. They're seeing the headlines. They've seen the head of OpenAI testify before Congress. They've seen all the ridiculous Twitter threads and they're ridiculous LinkedIn posts about AI and how it's changing everything and it's just a hype machine. I look at it and go, okay, this is just another kind of the next wave of tools that business owners can use for their businesses, right? And so when I think about any kind of tool, whether it's a hammer or a drill or an AI solve platform, I look at, well, the best tools are ones that actually solve a real problem. Otherwise, they're just toys that become giant distractions with playing with stuff. So I, for a long time, didn't use much AI stuff because it just became this wormhole of distraction for me. Jody knows because she's worked with me for 6 years now. I can chase rabbit trails like I'm an Olympic. It's an Olympic sport that I'm trying to chase, get gold in. And so anyways, what I've found over time is in the last several months particularly is that there's some tools that are really helpful, especially when you have, again, the guardrails to know how to think about them and how to approach them. I came in a little bit of trepidation. I love technology. I love all the bells and whistles and fancy things, but I also am a little bit wary of hype in general. I tend to be a pessimist in that regard. So I wanted the hype to die down a little bit before I could see what it would actually do. So probably in the last 6 months or so, as we're recording this, I've obviously used ChatGPT like a lot of people have. Jasper used to be called Jarvis. It's an AI content tool I'm starting to use more. A friend of mine, and I know we're going to get this in a little bit, specifics, runs a company called Magi.co that I'm starting to test it a little bit because he's got some really interesting features there. The overview is, Jody and I were talking about this, it's been a little bit of like uncertainty. What's actually useful that's going to help us as opposed to be the shiny object distraction that's going to be this thing we play with, but ultimately doesn't do anything that helps the business make money.
Yeah, I feel like we're at that unique intersection of that, where in between early adoption and like slightly more mass adoption, and it's hard to tell which one is which. And I think ultimately the question that I was so inspired that I saw you answer recently, we were talking, was just like, I don't know, whatever's most pragmatic, whatever makes me most productive. It's like, what's most practical? Jody, for you, as Wes is clearly an early adopter, and you work so closely with Wes, what was kind of your first reaction to like, hey, we're going to implement these AI tools into our process?
Yeah. So for me, I think there was a little bit of hesitancy. Like, I'm going to give over my work to a bot, you know, like, yeah. Am I going to hand it over? And there's a little bit of that, you know, feeling of a boss delegating to an employee, you know, like, if I can just do it on my own and not have to explain anything to somebody else, then I'm just going to do it. I'm going to handle it. So that's kind of how I felt. Like, I can do this. Why do I need to hand it over to somebody else, you know? But as we kind of started using things a little more and digging deeper into the tools, we really started to see how useful they can be, saving time. And I can see, as we are going to use them some more, how it's going to probably fit into our day-to-day workflow really nicely.
That's awesome. I feel like y'all are such a perfect pair and an example for so many of the people who are watching today on exactly how you can use things and how you can kind of walk into that process of like, are there all these tools that make us more efficient, get so much more done in a short amount of time? I think I'd love to jump right into like just really practical advice. So like, what AI tools do you use and like, why do you use them? I feel like we can spend as much time here as you want, but like you have like some real use case driven adoption, which I think is what's so interesting in this like rapidly changing world. So where do you want to start?
I'll start. I think the first one we've used, I think it's technically AI. They have incorporated more of the kind of generative AI stuff where it's, you know, you give it a prompt and it spits back something. Is Grammarly. I would argue Grammarly's been an AI tool for a long time. I use it because I'm a pretty good writer and I'm a really terrible editor. And so hence why Jody is so integral, because she edits everything. When I write without Jody, I get a lot of red squigglies screaming at me from Grammarly. So Grammarly is one. If every business owner should use Grammarly, it can save yourself a ton of time and frustration. And quite honestly, they continue to develop that tool to help you figure out how to rephrase things you've already written to maybe be more persuasive or formal or informal, whatever parameters you give it. And they're getting better on that platform as well. So Grammarly is one I've probably used the longest out of all these. I mean, I'll admit, I became a bandwagon ChatGPT guy. I finally got on about 3 or 4 months ago, and it's cool for sure. We've actually used it in terms of a use case. So a specific way we used it probably 3 weeks ago, maybe, Jody, 2 or 3 weeks ago from now, is that a client that has four kind of distinct customer groups that they have. The challenge is, though, they've been around 15 years. They haven't been collecting a lot of good data in terms of like really useful data and then centralizing it in a way that's actually actionable for people. And that's a common problem along a lot of businesses. And I've seen it from, you know, small businesses and like say under a million to multi 8 figures, close to 9 figure businesses just don't have good clean data of say their customers and their prospects. And so this one particular one, we were targeting business owners and we didn't have a way to know who the business owners were and their customer base. So I thought, I wonder if ChatGPT can help me figure this out. And I think most AI tools could help you do this. So I went into their HubSpot, put some filters in place to filter out their customers based on email address. So they had a lot of people that were Yahoo and Gmail, took all the personal kind of email addresses out, and did basically left with about 800 email addresses of the however many customers they've had that were like a business email address. So like a @belaysolutions.com kind of thing. And then I did a thing that I don't normally do, which is I willingly went into Google Sheets spreadsheets is not my love language. I know some of our audience that's, they would live and die and breathe, you know, eat, sleep, breathe spreadsheets, not me. Put them in there, ran the formula. So I split the email address from the domain name. And then I literally took 100 domains at a time and went into ChatGPT and said, acting as a research assistant, pull up the, or match this domain with the industry that's of the, from the website, something like that. Give me the answers back in a CSV file. I did 800 domains in 3 minutes and it would spit it all back as a CSV file. So I literally would click copy in ChatGPT, drop it into a spreadsheet. And then, you know, it took a couple more minutes to kind of clean all that up. And then, a couple of clicks later, I had a list of their of grouped by categories. And I went through and checked a few of the domains and most of them were right. A couple of them weren't. But, you know, 90% is still a B+. And so, you know, it's like I had a guy one time tell me that, what do you call somebody who graduates med school with a C average? Doctor. So like, we don't have to hit A+. We don't have to get a 4.0 GPA in our business here. So I figured 90% good is still really good.
In 3 minutes, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if I had given that to Jody, it would have, one, probably taken a couple hours. Two, the resentment that would have rightly followed from that tedious task would have lasted far longer.
You may not have had an assistant anymore.
Yeah, I may have had to call the belay team to help me find a new one. And I think one of the things about AI to think about is, and we're going to get philosophical for a second. I think there's, quite honestly, some tasks that have to feel insulting to give to another grown-up to do. Like, I don't know if, I'm not saying it should insult their dignity, but at some point, I've told you this before, there are certain things I have never delegated because I just feel like it feels insulting to ask a grown person to do
that for you.
To do this, for example. But right now the robots don't have feelings. And so I'm fine with ChatGPT or Claude or any of these other tools to do it for me. And to then also automatically format it into a CSV so it can easily go into my spreadsheet that I'm not having to work with. So, you know, that's an obvious one. There's another one that I've used is Jasper. I like Jasper better right now for generating content. And a use case there is I got a client that does, they get a lot of their leads and clients from webinars. They do partner webinars with people in our industry. Do a couple of months, I think 75% of their new business last year, it's a $3.5 million company right now, came from leads that were either direct referrals or had somebody attended a webinar and then reached out to sales and then became a six-figure a year customer. And so we were going to do, we tested this where they did a webinar, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. It wasn't well attended. So I thought, let's send the replay out to the entire email list. The description we originally had was tough to read. As in, I read it twice and I thought, I don't know what this means. A. B, this is like somebody loaded a cannon with jargon and then just shot it at the wall to see what it was. And so I put that in a description and then I put acting as a marketer, a copywriter for this company, rewrite this into a compelling offer or a compelling two paragraphs as to why somebody should watch this webinar. And it gave me three options. And, you know, I played with the prompt a couple of times. It gave me three really good options I ended up with. And it took me 10 minutes, edited it a little bit, you know, shortened it, cleaned it up just a tad, another 5 minutes. We dropped it in HubSpot and scheduled it. All in took 20 minutes. And they thought the client thought the description was great. They're like, oh, this is so good. And I'm like, well, thank the robots.
I feel like one of my takeaways there, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Wes, but actually I do. I totally meant to interrupt you there. But the I think one of the takeaways I keep having from these examples you're giving is kind of like input equals output. Like the quality of your prompt is the quality of what you get out of it. What was your process? And I didn't prep you with this question, but like, how did you learn how to ask the right question or how to give it the right instructions? I think we have probably a lot of viewers or listeners here who want to embrace these tools, but they don't necessarily know exactly like where to even start.
The prompt thing is interesting because that's one of the things that gets brought up a lot in Twitter people talk about it on Twitter and in LinkedIn. You know, prompt engineering, people are acting like that's some of the next big, you know, seven-figure year job. It's not. In some ways, you have to think about it. The downside of creating a prompt is that unlike delegating it to a human, like if I delegate something to Jody, she can ask clarifying questions, right? She can maybe bring a certain set of knowledge to a task that I already have a pretty good idea, or she may know where things are. When I delegate it to a robot, they're basically coming in only knowing what I say. And so in some ways, it's just like delegating in general, like Jody referred to earlier. I have to look at it and go, I'm delegating this to a machine that I'm going to assume has zero context unless I tell it something. And so that's been the big part piece of it. And I've seen some people who have talked about how they've maybe crafted prompts. Jasper has a tool you give it a prompt, you click a button, and it'll enhance the prompt and make it more specific, you know, and help you get a better prompt. But it really comes down to just what Belay is all about, which is delegation. And so you have to be really clear and really specific in the delegation side. You know, some tools are better than others with how it handles the prompt, but it really comes down to, am I delegating what I need? This also isn't confessional time, but I will confess, Ryan, before, you know, me, you, Jody, and the world here. So I'm working on a project right now with Belay, and it's an email sequence. One of the emails in this sequence, it's a sales sequence, is a testimonial. So I went on the website and the Belay site, and I have a list of all the ones, and I found a couple that were really useful and really good. And so I literally copy and pasted one of those into a prompt because for some reason it wasn't reading the URL right. So I just copy and pasted the case study. And I literally said, acting as a sales rep for Belay Solutions, comma, rewrite this case study to be, I think, like 100 words, make it really clear, make it fun but professional. And then the call to action should be click to read the full story. And sure enough, it spit out three options. I took one of them, edited it, and then copied it in the Google Doc. I haven't seen what y'all's comments have been yet, but it was able, like I gave it, I literally said acting as a sales rep for Belay Solutions. So yeah. It knew then to talk about Belay in there. It knew then to talk at the perspective of sales. It knew to make it a little more fun and professional and yeah. what I wanted people to do.
Jody, what tools have you used as you're working with Wes to help be more productive?
Well, I'm still learning. This is still sort of a new thing for me, you know, and I'm learning from Wes. So ChatGPT is the one that I've used the most. And like Wes said, we knocked out that project in like 10 minutes flat. And what normally would have taken me half of my day. So I think, you know, as an assistant, it's kind of taking a look at your daily to-do list and saying, what makes sense, you know, to hand this off to AI and what makes sense for me to still touch, you know? But, you know, like I said, ChatGPT is the main one that I've used and still just messing around with some of the others. I know there are some out there like Boomerang and Stiff Science that are good for assistants who do a lot of calendar management, a lot of email management. So kind of dabbling in those as well and seeing how I can use that. I don't do a lot of like travel for Wes, but it would be helpful maybe for a calendar or email management too. So that's really all I've messed with so far and still kind of in the beginning stages of learning all the AI tools.
I think that's incredible. I know for our CEO at Belay, her and her assistant, they literally have a KR, one part of their OKRs for this quarter to implement and learn more about the system. I think that's where so many of our folks are, is like, if you have an openness to it, then like how do we learn and work together and figure out where it works? And I don't want to miss this. Jody, you said that something that would have taken you a half a day, that's like a ton of hours, you got done in 10 minutes. That frees up so much more time for you to add value, to drive revenue, to push forward, you know, products and things for Wes and Wes's company. That's truly a remarkable example of productivity in this context when you have a limited amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what's so cool about it is that, you know, at first, like I was saying, I was so hesitant. But then once you dive into them more and you figure out, wow, what are they capable? Look at what they're capable of, you know, how they can help us, how they can help free up time. And like you said, increase productivity and just the normal, like helping in the daily routines and workflow. I think it's really going to be great as we move forward.
That's incredible. Well, Wes, I know you have more. You maybe have a few other resources as well. I'd love to hear about a few of the other tools.
One of the ones I've been playing with some is the Notion's built-in AI. Anybody who uses Notion, Notion is one of those tools you could do a whole separate thing on. It's cool because it can do anything. But the flip side of it is it can do anything, which means you have to make all the decisions, which can get a little overwhelming. One of the ways I've used it specifically is I like to read. I particularly, I use Kindle, like a lot of people do. And I use a tool called, I've recently signed up or started using a tool called Readwise, which is a great tool. Basically what Readwise does, it can pull in all your Kindle highlights and it can pull in articles and other stuff you can use too, but it'll pull in your Kindle highlights and then it can sync those not only to Readwise, and you can make highlights and notes on the highlights, but then you can, it'll sync those to whatever tool you wanted to. So Evernote, Obsidian, I think it'll do Run Research, and Notion. So I've been playing with on the Notion, having it sync on my highlights. And then when I'm done reading the book, go into that note with all my highlights in Notion, and then using the Notion AI, say, summarize all of my highlights. I can literally also have it pull out any action items if I highlighted those. So now knowing that when I'm going in to read a book on Kindle, I'll be able to highlight and know that I'll, you know, highlight kind of liberally, and knowing that I can have an AI tool summarize it for me. Another thing I've started to use too is using Zapier, which I love. I would automate everything in my world if I could, if I could figure out how. But using even Zapier to do things. So one of the ones I have is a Zap setup. So if I'm on an article, say Harvard Business Review or Inc. or whatever, I can click a extension in my browser and it'll automatically send that article to ChatGPT and then spit back out a paragraph summary in 10 seconds. So I can read it or not, or I can just say, oh, now I'm going to keep that as a reference, as an article that I want to read. Another one is I set up recently, I haven't tried it yet, but I saw a guy that set up where he could take a voice, like if you had a voice memo, you're in the car, you're in a place where you can't take notes, or you have a lot to think about or voice out loud that you don't want to write down or can't type, record in a voice memo and then have AI open or ChatGPT not only transcribe that, but then go in and summarize that and pull out any notes and action items specifically and spit it all back out for you. That kind of stuff to me I think at the end of the day, AI, I look at it as a great way to create stuff. So how do I create, you know, great first drafts of stuff? Because I'm in the marketing world. How can I help me do research, right? How did, you know, like we were talking about this one example where what Jody ended up using ChatGPT for was we took out all the email addresses for that one I mentioned earlier in the healthcare and medical space. And then she ran those through ChatGPT and asked what those companies did specifically. So then we, again, 10 minutes, she put it all back in a sheet, Google sheet, and we could just see what all the patterns were. So then we go, okay, now we know we 80% of our customers in the healthcare space are in these two different verticals. That's where our next campaign, that's where our next target is. Because we know now, we wouldn't have known, the client would have known that before. They had no idea. And so it helps us do research. It helps us clarify some things and also helps us create. So those are some of the tools I use. Like I said, I've started to test magi.co because I know the owner shamelessly. He's a friend of mine, and he's starting to integrate one called Claude as opposed to ChatGPT. Claude, you can put up to 75,000 words. So you could basically import a book if you wanted to, and it'll summarize it, which is bananas to me. I mean, it's like Cliff's Notes on steroids. But yeah, that's the next one I think I'm going to play with. And all the image, there's a lot of image generators. I'm not in that. I stay away because that means I'm entering the design world, and I don't want to fall down that wormhole either. But some other use cases too, I've seen people use, I think Microsoft has this built in now or is building it in because they have a big investment in the OpenAI, the parent company of ChatGPT, to use AI to figure out the right Excel formula, which is, that's got to save the world on its own. Like I'm convinced Excel runs the planet and we're all just living in a Microsoft Excel world. Yes. I'm also convinced there's two things that nobody knows, and that's the formula to Coca-Cola and everything that Excel can do. And so having that for people who are in Excel all day long to quickly get the formula right would save a ton of time and a ton of frustration and a ton of feelings of wanting to throw your computer out the window.
No, absolutely. The Excel integrations are wild. In fact, if that's something you're interested in a few weeks, we're going to do another webinar that kind of dives into a little bit of that content as well. So you're not going to want to miss that one. Wes, you talk about I'm on the kind of design side a little more, and just the tools that are accessible for really low cost, things like the AI tools within Canva that really create, you know, in the same way that some of these other tools, Grammarly, create accessibility to great copy and things like that. Those things are accessible over there as well, which is wild to watch. What, as y'all have adapted this and you've kind of fought your way through, what have some of the challenges been, and how have you overcome those?
For me, it's this tension of what am I using that's actually useful versus what am I using to feel like I'm, quote, keeping up. right? There's that kind of internal struggle. Cause I have friends of mine, I see people online, they're just all over it. And they're saying all kinds of crazy things. You know, every day somebody posts, you know, everything changed. The whole world is never going to be the same because ChatGPT added a new color palette to their web logo. And you're like, okay, Johnny, let's calm ourselves. But there is that fear of missing out, I think. And so, you know, it's focusing it. This the challenge of focusing on what's actually going to help me be productive. I mean, I think all the time, AI tools are only useful if you can find a real use for it. Otherwise, they're just toys. And, you know, that's one of the challenges. Another challenge is you spend more time playing than doing. You know, am I really moving the ball forward? Am I just kind of playing the game? And then also, I know Jody's going to speak more on this. Also, the like fear, not the fear, but the concern about delegating it out. You know, I'm okay giving a lot of stuff to robots, and there's other things like, well, can they really do that thing?
Jody, what about for you? What have been some of the challenges you've faced along the way, especially having a boss that's so kind of early adopter wired?
Yeah, so kind of the same thing what he just touched on and what I touched on earlier is just delegating and really thinking, okay, this can actually be done, you know, this can actually be done and be done correctly. And I guess part of that too is knowing and realizing, which this is just stating the obvious, but just realizing that what comes back isn't going to always be perfect, you know? So it's going to need us on the back end of it to refine it and, you know, make it better and just make sure that everything's making sense. Because sometimes things come back and you're like that, you know, even like transcription, the transcription piece is like, that doesn't even make sense. But I guess that's when you feel like, okay, I am needed. You know, it's not just a robot doing all my work for me. So it's just that. It's just delegating it to someone, something else. And then I guess going along with that, it's just feeling like a little bit of losing control. You know, for me, it's like I want to have control of everything that I'm touching for Wes. I want to make sure that, you know, what's scheduled on his calendar comes from me, or I know exactly what that is. Or, you know, whatever project I'm doing in ChatGPT, I want to make sure that it's done correctly. So part of it's just losing control. And I guess it's just taking that step and kind of overcoming that feeling of, you know, I can give this away to the bot and then take it back and control it on the back end and make sure that everything's perfect on the back end.
That's a really good point. I've actually never considered, but I know for like my assistant, she saves me from the details. Like, I'm not always great at the details, and you know, they're a cumbersome. Well, like if a project is super cumbersome, I'll just get a little overwhelmed. And I had not considered how the integration of AI would actually make her feel out of control, or like, you know, not being able to, you know, cross those T's and dot those I's. That's really interesting. And I think actually gives me a ton of grace for like my assistant as we're taking steps towards that. So Heather says, thank you, Jody. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I just need personality too. Like, I just need to have control of everything. I don't know if that's good. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, like I said before, the boss and employee thing, like Wes said, he wasn't good at delegating maybe at first. And then you kind of get used to the idea like, okay, this is actually helping me. And it's the same thing with, you know, an assistant using AI. This is actually going to help us. It's going to help our productivity and our processes. So it's just taking that first step, I think, and realizing that it's a good thing.
Yeah. I think one more challenge too is to use it well, you have to pause long enough to almost break things down to say, okay, what are the actual steps that need to get done? You know, things that I've done repeatedly, I could do in my sleep. Same with Jody. You just know them. And you think, okay, if I want to use AI, if I want to integrate it, what is actually happening? Like, what is step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through 20 of this thing we're doing? Even if they're very, very tiny steps. And then coming in and saying, okay, where can a AI tool help us here? And then having that clarity to know all the way through, which also opens up like this one example we've used now with ChatGPT about the kind of research project. I would have never, ever thought to do that ever with any other client up until now. Cause I just never thought that was an option. You know, I just never thought we're not going to research 800 people's websites. That sounds awful, right? Rightly so. Cause it is terrible. It would be terrible work for somebody to do. But, you know, these AI tools, you're like, oh, wait, we can actually do this. We can actually get this done. But before, we never could do it. It would have been terrible for somebody to try to go do.
The effort to impact equation has mm-hmm. actually changed significantly with these tools. Mm-hmm. And I think as leaders and people who want to scale our businesses and things like that, we get to reevaluate what's doable now. And honestly, I mean, talk about incredible service and a remarkable product you delivered to your client that they never thought they could have either. Like, so what as a business owner, incredible way for you to impress a client as well, because you're able to integrate a tool together. Yeah. And you both used it.
I think the future of AI is going to be, again, avoid the hype train of the internet. I think the future of AI is going to be really coming after kind of entry-level knowledge work. You know, it's never going to come after plumbers or electricians. Like, the trades are always going to be fine. It's that entry-level knowledge worker job where I think we're going to see a divide in the coming months and years, where those who are using AI to supercharge are going to become even more valuable. So they're going to skyrocket up that ladder versus the people who aren't. You're going to have a lot of that entry-level jobs are going to be, frankly, taken over by bots that can do it for $20 a month at 90% of the return of effort.
If you had to give like one piece of advice to a business owner or a leader who's sitting here thinking about how them and their assistant could incorporate AI into their workflow, like, what would your piece of advice be to them to just like to get started or to kind of grow in that?
If I had to give one piece of advice, it would be you're not going to get left behind. So ignore that hype, right? Your business can still make money. You can still make good money. You can still be very successful if you take baby steps into using AI and integrating it into your business where it makes sense. The worst thing you can do is jump into the hype and then start trying all this stuff that doesn't actually bring real value to your business, right? Instead, play the, you know, be a crock pot, not a microwave on this, and say, what are the problems or the gaps that exist in our business? And then find the tools that can help you do that work for you. And then over time, you'll figure out how to integrate it. You don't have to go from zero to automate it overnight, but, you know, give it, don't, no, you're not going to be left behind. It's not going to destroy your business if you don't have it. It can just make you a little more valuable, a little more efficient, and live life a little more stress-free if you do, if you can identify the problems that it can help you solve with what you, with your job.
That's incredible. Jody West, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom. If people want to find out a little more information about you, where do they find information about your business?
The best place to go is westgay.com. It's real complicated. WESGAY.com. That's where I have all my stuff that you can find me. You can find me on the interwebs, Facebook. I guess us old people still use that. LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram's all just at Wes Gay.
That's awesome. I will endorse Wes. We use Wes at Belay, and very, very, very grateful for you and for all that you do for us. And today, everybody who listened and watched. So thank you. That was incredible. Some very practical information. And to those of you tuned in, if you're watching or listening, thank you so much. I hope this information was as helpful for you as it was for me. I have a whole list of things to go check out now to be more efficient. And I know for sure my assistant, Heather, is really grateful about some of the things that I learned about today. If you have more questions or more thoughts, or you want to get access to more information, a couple places you can go. Follow us on social media. We'll be posting about information there on this webinar and future webinars, as you heard me discuss earlier. Also, you can check out our blog. The Belay Solutions blog you can get to from anywhere on the website. It's going to be a great place because in the next few days, we're going to post a replay of this webinar that you can get to from there. Also going to post a link to all of the different things that Wes talked about today. And you can find more information on Wes and Jody both there. Once again, thank you so much for being here today. And we wish you continued success as you accomplish more and juggle less.